Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, your word which is truth. And we ask that that truth would sink down deep in our hearts and in our lives and bear fruit to your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Famous last words. I'm going to give you a couple examples. John Barrymore, who's actually an actor and grandfather of the contemporary actress Drew Barrymore, John Barrymore somewhat jokingly said in a TV interview and collapsed immediately after. He said, "Die? I should say not, dear fellow. No Barrymore would allow such a conventional thing to happen to him." Those were his last words. Winston Churchill's last words, "I'm bored with it all." My personal favorite, John Sedgwick, was a general in the Union Army in the Civil War, was killed by a sharpshooter in the Battle of Spotsylvania Courthouse on May 9, 1864. After his men encouraged him to get behind cover, he said, "Nonsense! They couldn't hit an elephant at this It's okay, you're allowed to laugh at it. I know it's a little morbid, you're allowed to laugh at it. But as we know, some last words, of course, are sudden and unplanned, but other times people know what's coming and they think about what they want to leave their friends and their families with. And today's reading from John 17 is Jesus' last extended words recorded before his crucifixion. As Jesus prepares to go to the cross, just a few hours before he is betrayed, this is what Jesus says. When he knows these are his last extended words to his disciples this side of the cross, this is what he says, and this is what he prays. Now, just as a side note, John 17 is one of my favorite chapters in the whole of the Bible, and there are many things that we could and should think deeply about. But this morning, I want to focus in on mainly just on one verse in this passage, verse 17. Jesus says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And we're going to dig into this verse by looking at three key words, two of which actually come in the verse, and then a third is essential to the context around it in order to understand it. So we're going to look at these three words. The three words are sanctify, truth, and unity. Sanctify, truth, and unity. So the first word, sanctify. Jesus prays that we will be sanctified, that we will be made holy. Sanctify is just the verb form of the word holy, to be made holy. Jesus prays that we will be made holy. Now, holiness in biblical terms, especially as it applies to us, includes things like purity and goodness and the like. But at its most basic, holiness involves being set apart for special use, set apart for God. And that's what Jesus means here, that we would be set apart for God. Now, we understand that concept, and we see it in a variety of ways, this setting apart for special use, both in the church and in the wider culture. And I'll give you a couple examples so you can kind of get that concept. So here at the cathedral, for example, this table is special. Other tables can be used for all sorts of various other purposes, but not this one. This one is special. Or think in the temple in the Bible. You know, this specific lampstand is only allowed to be used in these specific ways in the temple, or this specific scooper spoon is only to be used in special ways in the temple. It's different from all the others. Or to use a secular example, in our culture, there's nothing inherently special about cloth. Certain types are more expensive than others, but you can kind of do with cloth with whatever you want. You can step on it or burn it or whatever you want to do. But if you cut a blue rectangle and you put 50 stars on it, and then you attach it to 13 red and white stripes, it becomes a very different kind of cloth. And you treat it very differently than all the other kinds of cloth. That one's set apart for specific use, and is endowed with specific meaning. So when Jesus says, when Jesus prays that we will be sanctified, made holy, that's what he means. He means that we would be set apart from everyone else, set apart as God's own in a special way, set apart for God. To use a phrase that I heard someone use this week in a different context, but putting into words the feeling of being an outsider, we are in a very real way, to use this person's word, otherized, set apart, made different from everyone else. By being claimed and baptized into God's family, by having faith in Jesus and saved by his grace, we are, as Jesus says, not of this world. We are other. We are set apart. We're made holy in Jesus. And that means that while it is true joy to be in God's family, we will always experience otherness in this world. We will never fully fit into the kingdoms of this world as citizens of the kingdom of God. We should never be fully comfortable as God's sanctified people living in this fallen world that is not sanctified. Being set apart for God is great joy, but it also brings real discomfort, as we are always in some way other, always in real ways an outsider. Sanctified. Second word, truth. Now, one of the essential parts about being Christian is that we have the truth. True view of reality, of history, of the future, of the meaning of it all. And in this specific context, Jesus is talking about the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the Bible. And he prays to God the Father, your word is truth. The Word of God is truth. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we have the truth, the Bible. And in this context that Jesus is praying, it's having the Scriptures, having the Bible that sets us apart, that sanctifies us from everyone else. And there is absolutely no arrogance to this, because we want everyone to come to saving faith in Jesus and come into the truth. And the difference between us and others that Jesus is pointing to, the way that we are other and different and set apart, is that we have the truth, the Word of God, the Bible. We are set apart by the fact that we have the Word of God and we believe and obey. We submit to, we come under, and believe and obey God's word. We don't sit in judgment over it, deciding for ourselves what we like or don't like, but we submit to God's word and believe what God teaches through it, and we obey what God calls us to do in it. But you know, there are people that really have never liked truth very much. Certain times and places tend to appreciate it a little bit more than others, but real truth that challenges us from the outside and calls us to change and believe and pledge allegiance to it, we tend to not like that very much. The reality is that being the people of the Word of God, having and believing and submitting to God's Word, we need to grasp the fact that being separated from the world, called into God's new kingdom and following the Word of God, means that we will not be acceptable to the world. We will always, in a real sense, be outsiders as we are set apart by accepting God and His Word. John says in verse 14 in this passage, Jesus says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. The world will at times hate us. Darkness always hates light. And the church, with the truth of God, will never fully be accepted by the kingdoms of this world. So take, for example, a piece of current legislation, the so-called Equality Act. Now, there are massive and detrimental implications for the church if this were to pass in its current form. It would make it illegal for us to act on beliefs that we have because we are people of the truth. And it goes far beyond just public policy, but seeks to force us to act as if we don't have the truth. And it makes it so that Christians and others could lose their livelihood in various professions if they continue to act on and submit to the Word of God. And we should absolutely push back against things like this, but we also shouldn't be surprised when the world does in fact hate us because we hold to the Word of truth, God's Word, the Bible. But take heart. Wherever the church compromises on the truth and tries to be acceptable to the culture, it always ends up failing. But whenever the church holds faithfully to the Word of God, even if the culture hates it and tries to marginalize it, it is then that the church has always flourished the most. Friends, we are set apart from the world through submitting to and holding fast to the Word of truth. Third word, unity. In being set apart from the world, set apart for God, set apart by having and believing the truth, the Word of God, we then must be united together or we will fall apart. Jesus prays in verse 11, he says, "Keep them in your name, that they may be one even as we are one." And then later in verse 23, just after our reading for this morning, he prays that they may be perfectly one so that the world may know that you sent me. We must be one. We must be united in Jesus for his glory and for his kingdom. Unity in Jesus, unity under his word, unity around his table. Unity in his kingdom, not a political party or even this great nation, but unity in his kingdom. But as one person said to me recently, churches have become fragmented by political and social divides. Instead of displaying the unity that we have as God's holy, sanctified people who hold together the word of truth, we've let ourselves get divided against each other. I will tell you that every single pastor I know, and we had a visiting pastor at the last service, and when I said this, he nodded his head enthusiastically. Every single pastor I know has had church members leave over masks. A piece of cloth over your face or not has become more important to us than obedience to the Word of God. Instead of unity together in Christ, we have turned on each other. And instead of displaying to the world unity in Christ around the truth, we have far too often made it about us and put the worship of God as secondary. By the way, I'm just going to be blunt. The Bible has a word for things that we hold as more important than God. If we hold something as more important and a higher priority for us than God and obedience to his word and gathering together to worship, the Bible calls that idolatry. If we would leave the church, either a local congregation or the wider church, because of putting on a mask or not, or because of political affiliation, we need to take a deep look inside and see where our primary allegiance lies. I was talking with someone this past week, and this person mentioned some of the young people that they work with who were expressing this very real feeling of just being done. They've just had it as they regularly see the disunity and the criticisms from adults in their lives. As they hear parents express such negativity, as they see leaders disagree so disrespectfully. See, friends, our kids are watching. Our family is watching. And the world is watching. I was talking with someone else this week who shared real concern as a Christian with how extended family members who claim the name of Jesus are so critical with those that they disagree with, especially around the pandemic, and how best to walk through it, and how unbelievably off-putting that is for people around them. As followers of Jesus, we need to be the ones that go out of our way to display unity and love for each other. The devil doesn't even need to worry about the world hating us if we can't even be unified together as a congregation and the wider church. See, friends, our families and the world really is watching us. And we must live out unity together, even when we disagree and even when we don't have things the way that we would like. As God's people, set apart by the Word of God, we must display radical and committed unity together. Now, just in case you haven't noticed, this is a rather challenging time in our country and our world. And if it's not one thing, it's another. Was it murder hornets that they were talking about a little while? I mean, if it's not one thing, it's another. But if we, the church, the sanctified people of God who stand firm on the truth of the Word of God, we can and must live together in unity and love. We never compromise on Christian behavior and obedience to God, on the truth of His Word, the Bible, nor on unity together, even when we disagree and wish something were different. This is Jesus' final prayer as He heads to the cross, that we would be sanctified in the truth as we hold to the Word of God in unity together. And so, friends, let us commit again to unity together as the people of God, set apart from the world as we hold to the Word of truth, the Bible, God's Word, to the honor and glory of Jesus. Amen.